welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Hallelujah. Good afternoon, good morning, church. What a great pleasure and honor, and I'm so grateful to be able to stand before you once more today to share what the Lord has for us on this day. So if you would turn to your Bibles, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And what we call the New Testament scripture. And I'll be reading for you beginning at verse 1 from the New Revised Standard Version. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. And in the NRSV, it starts this way. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them with confidence in the Lord, I am not ashamed. Now tell the other neighbor like you mean it, I am not ashamed. Help us to believe you at your word, O Lord. 1 and 2 Timothy, church, and Titus are a part of a collection of what we would call the Pauline epistles, or another way to say it is that these are letters that were written to offer wisdom and instruction from an elder, instruction from a mentor, or encouragement from a pastor. Now, scholars will dispute whether or not the Apostle Paul was in fact the author of these epistles, of this epistle, or whether or not Timothy was in fact his recipient. But what we do know for sure, what we do know for certain, is that this is the word of God that has been given to us as a way of offering us instruction and encouragement and a word from on high. So we know that these words are important, and they are given to us, church, today in love and in care from the Lord to his leaders. Words given to his servants, given to his children, those of us who are working to build his church on earth. And in the face of the growing challenges of living in the real world, whether it was in the first century for the apostle or for Timothy or to hearers 2,000 years later, the Spirit is saying to us, still saying to us, to keep on going and stay on the course. And most of all today, Christians, most of all today, believers, do not be ashamed. It's in this passage that we just read today that Paul acknowledges Timothy for his faithfulness, yes. And it's because the Lord knows that not just Timothy from Paul, but that all of us from time to time need a word of encouragement. Yeah, we need someone who loves us, who cares about us, to remind us to remain faithful to God, faithful to this journey, faithful to this call. We need someone to remind us to be faithful and to tell us to keep on pressing and keep on keeping on, even in the midst of the most horrifying and severe obstacles that seem to be in our way. And Paul reminds Timothy, he says to be faithful, and he helps him to remember that you, Timothy, you come from a faithful heritage. Yeah, you come from a faithful household. You come from your mother Eunice, who was a woman of faith, and from your grandmother Lois, who was a woman of faith. And that faith, Timothy, they deposited in you. It's there. It's there. Praise God, church. Praise God. Praise God, church, for praying, grandmothers. Praise you, Lord, for sending to us aunties and mothers and neighbors down the block who saw us doing all manner of evil, but yet they were faithful to you and they kept us covered. Praise God for the strength and the faith of those mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers who came before us and they held on and they persisted through their own hard times so that when we got ourselves somewhat together, we would have something of faith to hold on to. Church, you know our people. You know, we know something about the faithfulness of our ancestors. We know something about the fact and the way in which young people, junior ushers, we stand here today because we stand on the shoulders of those mothers and fathers, of those grandmothers and grandfathers who came before us. That's how we made it here today, by the love of God through them. And we don't even have to go so far back as Hebrews writes the cloud of witnesses. We don't even have to go back to Father Abraham or Brother Moses, but we got sojourners that we know about. Yeah, she told the truth. We've got Harriets who we know that helped to get us out of danger. And we've got Evers, and we've got kings of our own, and we've got Kirklands, and we've got founders, and we've got aunties and big mamas, and we've got senior saints last week who reminded us that they were standing here as witnesses and that they held onto God's unchanging hand, and so can we. And they teach us how to sing with courage this hymn that we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. And they remind us that he's never failed us yet. But truth be told, in all their faithfulness and all their perseverance and dedication on our behalf, their lives weren't easy. When we sit down long enough to ask them to tell their testimony, to share their story, we realize that they hold both joy and pain. Yeah, the stories, their testimonies, they hold both very real trauma and healing. They hold both despair and hope. And we are reminded, if we listen, of how their faithfulness paved the way for us. And every time we sit here and we sing together, Johnson's Lift Every Voice and Sing, the words encourage us. And it says that we sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. That's where we get the lessons of faith, through the dark. That's where you learn how to be faithful, through the dark moments of your life. We sing a song, church, full of the hope that the present has brought us. They say every day is a gift. And the words remind us, they remind us that it's the Lord alone who has been the God of our weary years. Yeah, listen to the saints. They'll tell you that it's alone, the Lord alone who was the God of their silent tears. He's the one, church, that has brought us thus far along the way. And so when we listen to them and we're reminded of the faith of Lois and reminded of the faithfulness of Eunice, rather than being ashamed of their despair, rather than being ashamed of the circumstances of their life, rather than being ashamed of the shackles of our grandfathers and our grandmothers and the chains that were latched onto our ancestors, instead, young people, of being ashamed and holding your head down because we had to sit on the back of the bus, and rather than being ashamed of those who had to labor and take care of somebody else's kids, we ought to be able to be proud of their faithfulness. Don't hide their story. Tell it so that the young people will be encouraged to know we got over. And just like the apostle did with Timothy, we got to tell the story. Tell the truth. We got to carry it forward into the next generation. But Paul didn't only, in this passage of scripture that we read today, he didn't only remind Timothy of his faithfulness, but he also gave him some instruction. He said, I want you to remember, Timothy, in the midst of it all, I want you to remember that you've got to do something. You've got to rekindle the gift. Rekindle the gift. Just like we said this week in revival, revival assumes that you have some life already that's being revived. And so he's saying to his son, Timothy, I love you. You have to rekindle the gift over and over again. He encourages him to rekindle the gift of God so that it burns even hotter, so that the light shines even brighter in the midst of darkness. Where are you today, Timothy? Are you here? Well, let me be Paul with you for just a minute and remind you that you have been invested with the power of the living God. If you have decided that Jesus is your Savior and Lord, then you've got the gift of the Lord on the inside. My sisters and my brothers, we who are called the children of God, the servants of the Most High God, if you proclaim that that's you, to those of us who have accepted the Lord as our master and our Lord, we too have the investment of the faithfulness from our past, of those who came before us, and we have this gift from the Lord. And because you've got the faith of the past, and because you've got this gift of the Lord, there's something inside of you called the gift of God. And we hear today that we've got to remember to rekindle it. Remember to rekindle it, because the truth is, you might feel like today that the flame has gone out. If we're honest, in this season of revival, the saints of God go through moments when we feel like the fire has burned out. What you need to know is that what you need, all that you need, has already been put on the inside. It's like Paul is telling to you, Timothy, today, resist the urge, no matter how it looks, no matter how you feel, feelings lie, church, no matter what you see, resist the urge to give up. Don't call in the coroner and pronounce that thing dead. It's not time yet. Don't decide for yourself that your assignment has now concluded. But instead, here's the option and instruction: rekindle the gift. Or the original language tells us to fan the flame. Fan it into flame. Fan it. You know what that means, fan it into flame. It's like if you go camping and you know that you've got to keep the fire burning. You want to stay warm, don't you? You want to be able to have light, don't you? You want to be able to ward off the enemy creatures that are lurking upon the campsite, don't you? Well, you've got to fan the flame, keep the fire going. It's kind of like when I'm cooking on the grill. That's how I'm learning about fire. That's how I'm learning how to work with the fire. It's like cooking on the grill. How do you, church? Do you know how to keep the fire burning? Do you know how to fan the flame? Well, let me help you. Let me hope I can help you. Well, what I'm learning on the grill is that I told first service, I said, I cheat. I'm not on Grill Masters. It's okay. I use lighter fluid. Yeah. Because I want to eat today, so I use lighter fluid. And lighter fluid is like the word of God. And I used to, in the beginning, I used to just sprinkle it, you know, daily bread, I'm good for today. I used to just sprinkle the word. And then what I've learned is, no, how about if I just a little bit more? So now what I'm learning is that the word, excuse me, that the lighter fluid should be heavily applied. So now I got to go get another can because I ran out of the fuel that I needed to keep the fan and then the flame, the fire burning. So it should be heavily applied. And not only that, but consistently, every one of those coals, every part of your life should be doused with the word so that that fire can keep burning. Fan it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you got to work with the fire so that you can learn how to fan it in the flame, heavily and consistently applied over every area of my life. The word works. Let the word work. But you got to work the word to let the word work. And I'm learning. I'm learning about the fire. I'm learning about fanning in the flame. Thank you, Paul, for letting us know that we got to do the work. I'm learning that the conditions of the day make a difference. Yeah, so what's the forecast? Well, they don't know. Let me go out anyway. But I'm learning that if it's too windy, that I got to watch that fire. Yeah, Timothy. Is it windy right now in your life? Do you feel like, Timothy, that every time you get a good fire blowing, a strong wind comes of adversity comes by to blow out the flame? You thought you were, you know, it was consistently applied, the word, you were faithful, you did everything, and then just out of nowhere, something happened in your life. You got a phone call, you got a diagnosis, the next thing you know, it feels like the flame has, well, fan it into flame. Keep fanning into flame. It feels like the winds of life, the storm clouds come and they blow and they try to extinguish the flame, but you've got to fan it. And then you look up and you think you're all set and everything's ready, and then you look up and then there's a dark cloud. Anybody know about the dark clouds? Where one moment it seems like it's sunny and then off in the distance you seem like a dark cloud is coming, and you begin to get anxious because you had plans for that food. Yeah, you did. You wanted to get through this next season of your life, and then the clouds come in, and then you're concerned about the rain because, you know, sometimes the rain comes and puts the fire out in the sanctuary. Excuse me. Sometimes the rain comes and puts the fire out, but you got to work that. And so what I'm learning is, as a Christian, is that we've got to learn how to make adjustments by the Spirit. We got to listen to God. If he says, put the lid down, put the lid down. If he says, back everybody away, you got to back everybody away. If he says, you turn that thing in the corner, you got to make the adjustments so that the flame will come back up. More prayer. You got to make adjustments. More surrender. You got to make, I know it's Wednesday, but you got to come out. I know you got to make adjustments. You got to fan the flame, even Sunday school. Yeah, it's not just for kids. You got to fan the flame. So what's helping me? It's helping me. I'm learning a lot about the fire. I'm learning about the fact that even sometimes I don't see it, so I think it's extinguished. Sometimes I put my hand over it, huh? And I don't feel anything. It doesn't feel warm anymore. And so I think maybe I'll come back and try another day. But what I'm learning is that even sometimes when we don't see the fire, that it's not put out. Jesus said, when I was going to go, I'm not going to leave you here by yourself, but I'll give you the gift of my Holy Spirit. And he's not the kind to give you the gift and take it back. And so if the Spirit has been depositing it on you, if the fire has been started in you, he that began a good thing will continue that work until the day of Christ Jesus. And so you just trust him. Don't be anxious. It's still lit. Even when we don't see it, there's still fire burning. Don't be discouraged. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you stop. And what I'm learning about the fire, because I said I'm not a grill master, is that this is not about my skills. It's not about how many YouTube videos I watched about how to get a fire going and keep it going. It's not about my gifting. It's really about the conditions that the Lord allows. And it's about listening for his instruction from day to day. You can't read one time about how to start a fire and keep the fire going and to just sit down and think you know from here on out. No, you got to keep listening to the grill master. Let him tell you what to do. You stay plugged in. He'll tell you how to fan it into flame. When you feel like the fire is out, and if you walk this walk long enough, church, you're going to feel like the fire is out. If you feel like the fire has gone out on the work for the Lord, to the life to which you've been called, just trust God and keep. That's all Paul's saying to Timothy, because he had been around long enough. And he had been through some things. That's why we got to listen to the elders who have gone through some things. They'll encourage you. And so it was the faith in the Lord Jesus that had been poured into him by his household, by those around him, by his Eunice and Lois. And it was the power that had been invested in him through the gift of the Holy Spirit that he had to continue to fan into flame. And all of it worked together so that he could then, Timothy, in that time, be stand strong and courageous. That's what Paul was trying to tell his son in the ministry. He was trying to say, I know times are going to get rough. You don't even know how rough things are going to get one day. But you have inside of you what you need to be able to stand. And to stand boldly, church. Don't cower back. Stand boldly however the Lord wants to use you. When he calls you to speak his word, speak up. And when he sends you to serve his people, serve the Lord through his people with gladness. And live the life that he calls for you to live. And when you do all of it, since you have everything that you need on the inside, you can do it unashamed. Now, it might sound strange for us to be talking about Christians being ashamed, because some of us, you know, might be offended to think, well, why would you ever say that we could be ashamed? Because we're all blessed and highly favored like our sister Mary. And yes, we are. How could you talk about us being ashamed, preacher, when we think about all that the Lord has done for us? We can hardly stop testifying. How can you talk about us being ashamed? How can you talk about me possibly being ashamed when even Paul said in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a power of God. It's a salvation to everyone who believes. How can you talk about, yeah, we're blessed. And yes, we're called. And yes, we have a hope in the Lord. But the truth is, church, say the truth is. The truth is that if we're honest, sometimes we get discouraged along the way. And we don't want to talk to you, and I don't want to talk to you, and I don't want to talk to you about what's going on in my life right now. There are times when we don't really want to share our sufferings, no. I need you to see me with these red bottoms on, and I need you to think that my hair is laid all the time, and I don't really want to tell you that I cry all night long. I don't really want to tell you, my brother, that I'm going through the trials and the hard times that come from being a servant of the Lord, that are a result of following him. And so Paul said, Timothy, I got you, because I know there's going to come a time when you will feel ashamed to share. You won't want to talk about the experiences that you have in the Lord. And so I give you this encouragement because, Lord, the Lord understands your heart. He knows that you're concerned about that. He knows that you're ashamed to talk about that part. You may give them this part in the first giving honor to God, but you don't really want to talk about this part of your witness. And the Lord knows our anxieties. He knows our fears. But be not ashamed, Timothy. Timothy wasn't living in a place that loved the message that he shared, and it was the same for his father in the ministry, Paul. He was living in a place and time in the midst of a culture that was contrary, unsupportive, and downright aggressive to the work of the Christian ministry. Sounds familiar to me. You know, in worship, we live in this country where we can worship freely in the sanctuary, but waving the bloodstained banner in the first century would have got you killed, imprisoned, crucified. Not much has changed, church. To the culture around him, around the safety of those who believed and spoke like him, the testimony of Jesus was nonsense. The preaching of the cross was foolishness, the Bible says, foolishness. And that leader, Jesus, he certainly must have been a fool, walking around proclaiming that he was a teacher and a rabbi, a healer, and the Son of God. And not much has changed for us. In fact, one person wrote that no amount of virtue or upright living, Christian, will ever set you free entirely from hostility, reproach, and rejection by the unbelieving society. So stop waiting for them to pat you on the back and tell you that you're right. Jesus was crucified for this message. He was crucified, a most shameful way to die, a public execution, so that everyone could see this message would lead to death. And they rejected his power. And onlookers must have wondered. Onlookers must have wondered, this Jesus that was the Son of God, well, how is it that he was killed? That's what they'll question you about, church. Oh, you follow that Jesus? Where is he? Isn't he dead? Didn't they kill him? Didn't they crucify him? And his followers, those who proclaimed Jesus as their Savior, who walked beside him, who walked behind him, they were persecuted for their beliefs. They were suffering in public. And Paul was locked up. He's writing to his son, locked up in prison for doing just what the Lord called and assigned and picked him out to do. That's what we're signing up for. And it's for all of this that the apostle writes, for this gospel, for the good news message of Jesus, for explaining to those who need to know that there is hope because he died, was buried, and resurrected. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And it's for this reason that I suffer as I do. Are you ready to know that that's why you suffer for righteousness' sake? Because you were appointed to suffer? Man named Valentino Dixon, you might have heard about it this week in the news. He was released from prison just a few days ago. And through what can only be accounted as divine intervention, how the Lord used people on the outside to be advocates for him, Dixon was released after serving 27 years in Attica. This man in the prime of his life was sent away in his youth, wrongly convicted of murder. He was innocent. Hallelujah. There was a confession that had been given on the books, but no one would pay attention to it. No one would pursue his case until only recently when he was set free. Now, there must have been moments when this innocent man sitting in prison was feeling ashamed. Not so much of what he hadn't done, but of the condition in which he found himself. It is for this reason that I suffer. And Valentino himself, he claimed that there were days when he was wanting to go into the darkness, but it was the Lord who would not allow it. Don't we have days, church, when the suffering of our life, while we may consider ourselves innocent, having done nothing, but that the Lord allows for the perfecting of our faith and for the testimony? Aren't there days when we would prefer to go into the darkness, but the Lord would not allow it, but that he'll snatch you back into his light and remind you, get up, dust yourself off. And his heart could have been hardened, this man, and his anger could have boiled hot at those who persecuted him, but that was not so. He walked out, in fact, not with his head down, not experiencing the shame of the situation, but he knew who he was. You are not the situation. Do you know who you are? You are not the condition in which you find yourself. Do you know who you've been called to be? Paul was in chains for Christ, but he was not chains. He was an apostle of the living God with a message of salvation. You may find yourself locked down, but do you know who you are? And so Valentino walked out of the prison, not ashamed, but telling his story. Will you tell your story? Will you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so that someone else might be encouraged to know that the Lord sees you, even in lockdown. He knows exactly where you are. But this Jesus was no longer walking the earth. Paul says that the disciples, that the apostles, that they had been scattered, that they were imprisoned, and some of them were killed. What was there to be proud of, Paul? Why shouldn't we hang our head low when it looks as if this is all over? But do not be ashamed, my sister. Do not be ashamed, my brother, because we have not been defeated. Victory, and victory belongs to us because it belongs to the Lord. If you're suffering for the cause of righteousness, hold your head up and do not be ashamed, because the weapons will be formed against you. But the word says that no weapon that is formed against you will be able to prosper. And it's for this gospel, church, that we were appointed. And it's for this reason that we suffer. Yet we are not ashamed because we rely, as the apostle said, on the power of God. The faith of our mothers and fathers before us, the flaming of the power of God, the fanning into flame. We are not ashamed because we know the one in whom we have put our trust. So when you feel alone on this journey, and you will feel alone if you haven't already, when the Lord has detached some things from you and carved off some people from you that you wish were still there, when the Lord has done something in your life and you feel like you're out there all by yourself, don't be ashamed. When you don't know how you'll make ends meet, the day is coming when they're going to call and ask you for something and you don't know that you have it, but you're faithful Sunday after Sunday to bring, as the Lord ordains us, the tithes and the gifts into the storehouse so that there would be meat in his house and so that the ministry of Jesus would go forward. If you're in obedience to the Lord, don't be ashamed about the circumstances of your life. When you feel like the Lord has you sidelined or in the cave and you want to work for him, you want to serve his people, but it's the not yet season, or if you're like Paul and he has you in chains for Christ, don't be ashamed. It's the faith and the testimony of those who've come before us. They lived a life for sacrifice, for the cause of righteousness. And I don't know what they might have been thinking when they went through it, but I wonder if there was something on the inside that reminded them that the Lord had not forsaken them, that even in the face of great opposition, church, because they trusted in the one who had called them out of darkness and into his marvelous light, then they could keep coming again and again with the sacrifice. Even when you don't feel like praising, even when you don't feel like worshiping, you offer up a sacrifice because you know the Lord has not left you. The Lord has not abandoned you, and you don't need to be ashamed of the circumstances that you're in. Your Abba Father is with you. And I wonder how in the midst of the hard times, Grandmom, who came to church on Sunday and served and did not know on Monday how she would be able to get food on the table. I wonder if she could keep coming because she knew that her suffering, that her sacrifice for the Lord was not in vain. And I wonder how Grandpa, how he could just keep coming Sunday after Sunday and serving like a deacon and feeding the people and praying with families when all week long the man had called him everything but a child of God and called him boy, and yet he could come in the church house and stand in dignity and offer up praise to the Lord. Suffering ain't new, church. But the faithfulness of those who have come before us remind us to keep on going. Yeah, yeah. And although we would rather suffer in silence sometimes, and we rather the Lord cover us or remove us or take us away until it's all over, whatever it is, the truth is that they're going to see you suffer. You want to be a witness? You want to be light and salt? Then that means they see the joy and the pain. That means they see the celebration and the tears. Are you ready to bear up under your own cross, church? They may see you suffering and they may not understand because you may not even understand, but you got to keep on. Don't be ashamed. Tell them how the Lord is keeping you in the midst of it all. And keep on fanning the flame that's on the inside. You keep on serving. The Lord has given you his precious Holy Spirit, yeah. And he's given you the power that you need to be able to get through it. He's entrusted you with his calling. Each one of us is called to be a light to serve on the Lord's behalf. And since the Lord has poured so much into you in response to that, what will you trust him with? Will you trust him with your sorrow? Or will you be ashamed to be in sorrow? He already knows. He already knows the pain of your heart. He already knows the sadness. Will you trust him with it? Will you trust him enough to know that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy? And in his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to trust him with your future. I know they told you to sit down and write out a 10-year plan. But if the Lord says, I'll give you enough instruction for this day, if the Lord said, I'll give you your daily bread, and not a drop more. Will you trust him with your future? And when they ask you what your plan is, will you be ashamed or will you say, I'm only trusting that the Lord will reveal to me the plans that he has for me, says the Lord. And when I find out, I'll let you know. Will you trust him with your future, church? Will you trust him with your future, Redeemer? Not knowing how it'll be worked out, but that Jesus will fix it after a while. Do you know that he's your very good shepherd? Don't be ashamed to trust him with your provision. Don't be ashamed to bring to him what little you have. What does it say? Little is much. He can take two and three and multiply it. And when they know you don't have much and they turn around and day by day you've got food on your table and clothes on your back and somehow the lights are still on and your kids look like they've been fed and you've got your head lifted up, will you be ashamed and say, girl, I don't know because I ain't have it? Or will you tell the story, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Will you tell them that the one who gave it to me has a cattle on 1,000 hills? Will you tell them that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they dwell therein? Will you tell or will you be ashamed? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to trust him with your strength. He already know you tired. He already knows what it took for you to come here Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, yesterday, today. Don't be ashamed to let them know. I know I don't have the strength, but when he strengthens you, when he allows you to mount up on wings as eagles and to run and not be weary, you make sure you tell that story. Tell the whole story. Do you know that he'll make you lie down in green pastures? You didn't grow that grass. Do you know that he'll lead you beside the still waters? You tell him that you were worn out, but somehow when you got there, you got your help. Hallelujah. Will you be ashamed to let him know that you can't protect yourself? Because the truth is you can't. And will you trust him with your safety? Or will you tell your boys, I got this. I got something for them. Is your mouth your sword or is the word of God? Don't be ashamed, brother. Don't be ashamed to say, I got my hands down. Don't be ashamed, sister. Don't be ashamed to tell them, I just got my hands up. But let them know that you trust the living God, the Alpha, the Omega. Let them know that you trust him even with your life, your safety, because he promised to lead you through the valley of the shadow of death, through the valley, through the valley. Follow him out. Don't be ashamed to trust him when your body seems to be betraying you. When they don't know the answer and the scans can't tell you what it is. I know you're saved, but the ones that are closest to you, they know you're in pain. Let them know, I don't know. Yes, I trust God and I don't know. Yes, I believe God and I don't know. Yes, I'm afraid, but I know he's got me. Don't be afraid to trust him even with your pain of the past. Let them know the Lord is still healing me from that. Yes, I know I'm saved, but I still remember when they did. And the reason why I can tell you and not be ashamed to let you know that I'm still experiencing the brokenness of the past is because I know that he's leading me through it. There is a balm, church. And by his stripes, we are healed. Don't be ashamed, church, if your resources are low. Don't be ashamed to trust him with your lack. Could it be that the suffering is because of the gospel? Could it be that the numbers are running down because you're doing exactly what it is he told you to do? Could it be that it appears that you don't have enough because he wants you to know that he's your everything? And don't be ashamed to trust him with your anointing. Well, that's a church word, but what it means at home is that I don't know what's happening with me right now. How can you not know, mother, what's happening to you? You're a mother. How can you not know, father, what's happening to you? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the Lord is doing. All I know is that he told me to come and he called me. In Sunday school, he's preparing me. He's empowered me and he's sending me to do his work. Don't be afraid of not knowing. And you tell him you don't know. But you know that the Lord has his hand on you. Yes. And you be confident in that one thing. He'll anoint your head with oil and your cup will run over. Only trust him. And Timothy, my beloved Timothy, if you trust him with your life, he'll not make you ashamed. If you give to him everything that you have and he asks you for even more, do not be ashamed. When they can't understand why you're down there every other day, but you know that is the only way that your mind will be all right. Don't be ashamed. He'll give you eternity with him. But the Bible says he won't just give you eternity when we get to the other side. If you are not ashamed, he'll also give you his grace and his mercy. In fact, we can be assured that because the scripture says that surely, surely his goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Don't be ashamed to trust him with your whole life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't be ashamed to suffer. Don't be ashamed of the suffering. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of being in chains for the Lord. Because through it is not only your deliverance, but their deliverance as well. Be a testimony of how the Lord will fix it. And the apostle lets us know that, yes, this is painful. Yes, it is. This season is hard. But our present sufferings, church, do not compare. Do not compare. Can't even be held up against the glory that will be revealed in us. In us. So don't be ashamed. And if you don't believe Paul because, you know, you say you never met Paul and you don't know him like that to be asking you to suffer. And if you say, well, Timothy, you know, that's way back then and they used to suffer back then and maybe they liked it, but I don't really like all that suffering, preacher. Then maybe you'll believe the one who you say saved your life. Maybe you'll believe in the invitation from our Jesus, you know, the one whose name we say is written on our hearts, the one who we believe and we follow and we say we are disciples of, our brother Jesus. Well, if you don't believe the apostle, and if you don't believe Timothy when they invite you, will you follow the Lord when he says, oh, but join me in my suffering? You do know that for our sake, the Lord Jesus, he did suffer. You do know that he did suffer and that he did die. You do know that he was born of a woman and wrapped in flesh and came down through 40 and two generations to suffer. You do know that he walked the earth and he was rebuked and scorned, talked about as sure as you're born for your behalf, and he was not ashamed. You do know that he did suffer for your sins and my sins, and he allowed them to strap a cross on his back. You know that wasn't comfortable when he walked dragging his cross through his journey. You know that, right? That he suffered when he had to carry his own cross. You do know that it was not pleasurable for him, Christian. You do know that he was not ashamed to carry that cross because on it would be our sins of our past and on it would be the sins of our present. You know, today, our today, Sunday, worshiping sins. You do know that the sins of our tomorrow would be on that cross. But he wasn't ashamed because he did it anyway because your life was at stake. And you do know that he suffered through this process. You do know that they hung him up on a cross and when they drove the nails into his hands and feet, you know that was real blood that was shed, right? You do know that his bones was broken for real, like suffering for real, like, you know, what we feel suffering and what he felt suffering. You do know that he did that and he did it publicly and he didn't ask the Lord to come down and rescue him off of that cross, but he did it unashamedly. for your behalf. You do know that he died, that he did die, right? You do know that he died. He died and he was buried, yes. And you do know that he laid in that tomb. And you do know that he suffered. And that those who loved him, his mother witnessed his very tragic death. They'll see you suffer. Those who were closest to him, those who followed him, saw him die. They saw the breath leave from his body. And they wondered, is this the end? Is there anything more? Did he suffer for no reason? Should we be ashamed of this crucifixion? Is there more? Could there have been a reason why he allowed them to break his body? Could there have been a reason why she let them talk about her in front of her face? Could there be a reason why you let them slander your name on Facebook? Could there have been a reason, church, why you let them call you everything but a child of God? Why you stayed there and said not a mumbling word? For the sake of this gospel, there's good news in this? Yes, there's good news, because the Bible lets us know that he didn't stay there. He didn't stay in that place of suffering always. He didn't stay on that cross. But you know the story, that early, oh yes, early, the Jesus who came down voluntarily and suffered for your sins and my sins, early on that third day, he got up with all power. And so the glory of the former will overshadow the suffering of the latter. This is not the end for you. This is not the end of your story. If you keep your hand in his hand and you let him walk you through the valley of the shadow of death, if you let him fill you to the overflow, if you fan the flame of his Holy Spirit by the word of God and by the prayer and the witness of your testimony, your truthful testimony, if you follow him, there is victory, and not just on the other side, but he'll give you his peace. Oh, yes, he will. He'll give you, even today, in the midst of your crucifixion, he'll give you his joy. He'll give you, even when you have not words to say, he'll give you his power. He'll give you the words to say, to be able to share the testimony of your suffering. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, somehow between the suffering and the crucifixion and the other side, he'll make us like him. Thanks be to God. Our suffering is not in vain in the Lord. So you suffer on, my sister. You allow him to walk you through it, my brother, knowing that the end will be greater than the beginning. He's your promise keeper. Yes, he is. He is not a man that he shall lie. Only trust him. Only trust him. And do not be ashamed. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. Go boldly where he sends you to go. Don't worry about not having enough. When you get there, he'll provide everything that you need. Hallelujah. The Lord is with you no matter where you go. Hallelujah. We celebrate you, Lord. Let us pray. We believe you, Lord. We believe your word, Lord. And although the apostle was in chains, he was encouraged. We thank you for the faith of those who have come before us. Thank you for witnesses. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God. And yes, Lord, we will fan it to flame. We won't give up. You've not given up on us. Thank you, Lord, that you'll meet our every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him. Amen. Amen. As we celebrate the Lord for his word, would you rest on your feet? The deacons are coming because this is the most holy part of our worship. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, we all have been invited to become a part of the family of God. But if you're here today and you have not yet decided that Jesus would be the Lord of your life, if you've not yet accepted the gift of God, there's nothing that you can pay for it. No amount of education grants you this, but it's a gift freely given. If you need to meet our Jesus and be saved today, then why don't you come? Right now, come on down. Give the deacon your hand, but what we're saying is to give the Lord your heart. He already died for you so that you could live with him in eternity. He bridged the gap so that we could be restored back to the Father. He paid the penalty for our sins so that we would not have to burn in eternal flames in hell. If you are here today and you do need this Savior Jesus, come on, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Come on, why don't you come? Come on, don't hesitate. Come on. Come right now. Don't wait for next week. Come on. Come on. You don't have to check in with anybody else. If the Lord is saying for you to come, come on. Don't worry about who's next to you. Come on. We invite you to come and meet our Jesus. We know he's rescued us and he'll rescue you. There's room at the foot of the cross for all of us. If you're here today and you've made Jesus your Savior and you've accepted this gift and you decided that you are having him as Lord of your life, but you don't have a church home, a place where you can come and be taught the word and grow in faith and in knowledge and wisdom of the Lord, then we invite you to be a part of this fellowship, this church called Redeemer. Are you here today? Have you been trying to walk out there by yourself? A sheep among the wolves? Well, come on into this flock. And allow the good shepherd to lead you. Come on, we welcome you. Are you here? Are you here today? Are you here? Or you've been visiting and looking in the window? The Lord desires for us to be in community. Yeah, the Lord desires for us to be a family together, praying for one another, encouraging one another. So this is what the invitation is. Come on, if you want to be a part of this body. If the Lord is telling you that you've got gifts that are needed here, come on, why don't you come? Perhaps you've been walking with the Lord, but somewhere along the way, the sufferings of life, the pain of this journey caused you to go astray. But we invite you to come back for restoration. Is there one? Are there two here today who need to be restored back to the body of faith? Come on. You made the confession of faith, but you need to come back. You went away on your own. Come on back. The Lord is waiting for you. He's never left. Are you here today for salvation, to become a part of this body, this branch of Zion called Redeemer, to be restored in fellowship with the Lord? Are you here? Trust him. His love never fails. If you make this decision before we leave today, please come and find a leader, a deacon, a leader, a minister, and we'll pray with you. We'll walk through with you. But don't let the sun go down on this very important opportunity. Tomorrow's not promised to us. Amen. Would you please remain standing as we continue in worship with our offering?